This is a download from the BBC. To find out more, visit bbc.co.uk/radio4.
It's 8:10. Does alternative or complementary medicine work? Well, that depends who you ask. Plenty of people who use it and practice it say that it does, including some of the more controversial therapies such as homeopathy. Prince Charles, a big supporter, is making a speech about it today in Geneva. Plenty of doctors and scientists say it doesn't work, and whenever proper trials are held, they prove the claims to be bogus. Some of those doctors have now written to the chief executive of every NHS trust in England and Wales, telling them they should stop wasting money on it. One of them, Professor Michael Baum, is a leading breast cancer specialist at University College London. He is on the line, and so is Peter Fisher, clinical director at the Royal London Homeopathic Hospital, which happens to be part of the UCL Hospital Trust itself. Professor Baum, isn't it the case that good medicine is what works for the patient, not what the scientist or the doctor tells us is good?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, it all depends what you mean by the word works.
Makes them better.
Making better is one thing. I'm all in favour of treatments that make people better. I'm in favour of treatments that make people feel better. But there's all the issue of evidence. How do we know that what we're witnessing is a real effect or a placebo effect?
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. If the placebos are non-toxic and cheap, then it doesn't matter. My concern is the issue of opportunity cost. If the NHS is spending good money on placebos, then at the cost of not providing effective medicines, then yes, it does matter. That's called opportunity cost. And we are deeply concerned that the opportunity cost of squandering scarce resources on a matter which is nothing other than placebo, when it could be spent on effective remedies, then it does matter. I just heard on the news, just as we were waiting for this program to start, that NICE has given conditional
That's
approval.
The National Institute for Clinical
National
Excellence.
National Institute
which
of Clinical
which
Excellence.
Medicines we get, yes.
Well, I've been involved in the development of these drugs, aromatase inhibitors, for about 12 years, and we've had to cross every single hurdle. Now, all those hurdles are right and proper. All we're asking is a single standard. By all means, let homeopathy jump over the hurdles that we've had to jump over to prove that aromatase inhibitors improve the outcome for breast cancer, but then I'm happy. A
yes.
single standard is all we're asking
but
for.
But isn't there a slight difference here in that when you bring on a new powerful medicine, a new drug, there is obviously the danger that it could do enormous damage to you, and therefore it has to go through these tests, and we all understand that completely.
Yes.
If we're talking about homeopathy, for instance, where there is, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, absolutely no evidence, and it's been used for many, many, many years, centuries even, that it does any harm at all, because you would accept, as a scientist, I'm sure, as a doctor, that the trace of the stuff, there's barely a molecule left in the liquid, so it is entirely benign, you may say utterly useless, but nonetheless, it doesn't do harm.
Well, it can't really do any harm, because there's nothing in
exactly.
it. There is nothing in homeopathy. But at the same time, and we have Dr. Fisher here, he can correct me if I got my figures wrong, the UCLH Trust has spent, I think, $20 million on refurbishing the Royal Homeopathic Hospital. If that sum of money was spent on making available Herceptin and the aromatase inhibitors, then we could be saving, in my own health district, about 600 lives a year.
But maybe the homeopathy is doing good in relation, in terms of the amount of money that is spent on it.
Well, I would want to see the evidence. We talk about doing good. Now, I've been in the forefront of developing psychometric instruments for measuring quality of life. We also need clinical trials to demonstrate that these placebo therapies actually enhance quality of life. And there have been umpteen overviews of all the available randomized controlled trials which fail to come
right.
up with any evidence that it
right.
does anything.
So, Dr. Fisher, people like Professor Baum can prove that their new drugs, or old drugs for that matter, work. You cannot prove, can you, that homeopathy works?
Well, for many complementary therapies we can, and Professor Baum
Not
is-
homeopathy.
Well, yes, there is quite a lot of evidence. It's controversial.
Every survey has found, every trial has found that it doesn't work.
No, that is quite untrue. That is quite untrue. Most of the meta-analyses, the pooling of statistical results have been positive. There was one highly publicised one last summer, which was negative, which was based on 8 trials. They didn't tell us at the time which 8 trials. They subsequently did. And it turns out that the 8 trials were very carefully selected, because actually if you choose 7 or 9, you get a quite different result. If you use the same method to select them, but make the cutoff point at 7 or at 9, you get a positive result. And the overwhelming majority of analyses of homeopathy as a whole have been positive, in fact.
So there's some sort of conspiracy on the part of perfectly respectable doctors and scientists against it, is what you're suggesting.
Well, I think what this suggestion amounts to is a form of medical apartheid. Anything that cannot trace its... any therapy that cannot trace its origins to what is called the biomedical model should be excluded from the NHS.
So that a glass or a pill that contains no molecule of the original substance, because it has been so diluted, can still be efficacious?
Well, that's what the evidence suggests, and I don't know
how. How can it? You don't know how?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the mechanisms of action. Nobody does. But there are some theories. There's some interesting recent findings which suggest structural modifications in the water.
So, in other words, it retains a memory of what was in it?
Possibly. Yes, that is the leading theory.
Isn't that hocus-pocus?
Well, there is evidence to support it. There is scientific evidence to support it, and that it does do something.
Professor Baum, scientific evidence.
No, it's nonsense. And I really object to this idea there's a conspiracy. I'm an honest broker. In fact, some years ago, I was invited to advise the Blackie Foundation at the Royal Homeopathic Hospital, before Dr. Fisher's time, on how to do clinical trials. And I was happy to do so. There is no conspiracy. If it works, then it ceases to be alternative medicine. Then we want to adopt it.
Well, medical apartheid was the expression that Peter Fisher used.
Well, that's bizarre, and that's actually quite insulting. Many of the effective remedies we use in breast cancer, like the Taxol and the vinca alkaloids, they come from plants. We don't mind where the treatments come from. We don't even mind very much, even if the conceptual ideas behind them are bogus. If it works, then we'll use it. Acupuncture is very effective in pain. The conceptual ideas behind acupuncture are bogus, but it works. Now we think we know how it works.
Ah, well, there we are. That's the point, isn't it, Dr. Fisher?
Well, our hospital was the first to introduce acupuncture in the National Health Service. We had the first acupuncture service in the NHS in 1972. And if the sort of ideas that are being advocated now had held at that time, this service would never have been introduced. It would never have been properly assessed. It would never have been introduced.
But you haven't been able to do that with homeopathy.
Yes, there is a considerable body of positive evidence. I myself have published negative evidence. In fact, this 8th trial I was referring to just now that swings the meta-analysis one way or another, I was an author of that. You know, I've published plenty of negative results as well. Nevertheless, the weight of the evidence does suggest that homeopathy is effective.
But the fact is, we're spending money. This is, I think, Professor Baum's main point. We're spending money, taxpayers' money, on treatments that we do not know how they work. Forgive the bad grammar there, but we don't know how they work. We don't know if they work. Many people believe they don't work. We're spending taxpayers' money on it when we could be spending that money on things we know do work and we know how they work.
Well, yes, but as Professor Baum knows, many surgical operations are not evidence-based. And when controlled trials are done, sometimes the results are surprising. There was a recent one with knee surgery, looking into the knee with an instrument, which showed that actually, if you just do a mock operation, just make the
placebo.
Yes, the effects are the same.
Exactly. So placebo effect.
Well, yes, some kind of non-specific effect.
Well,
anyway,
but
the
on that basis,
itself does not work.
If you acknowledge that that's some kind of nonsense, then surely you have to acknowledge that homeopathy is some kind of nonsense.
Well, no, because, as I repeat again, the weight of the evidence says that homeopathy works. This much-quoted trial from Bern in Switzerland, or meta-analysis, as I say, hinges on 8 studies. And if you change the number from 8, you get a different result.
Professor Baum, let me have a final thought. We could talk about this all morning. Yeah, it's a fascinating area. But how you say you're concerned about the money, and the money could be better spent. That's the essence of your case. How much money are we talking about? Not a great deal, surely. And it wouldn't solve the Herceptin problem, for instance.
Well, it might solve it for My Health Trust.
But how much money?
I'm not sure what the I think, and Peter will correct me, that the running costs or the prescribing costs at the Royal Homeopathic Hospital are about £5 million a year.
How much? It's much more than our entire turnover.
Well, how much would you say?
100,000 at the very most.
Oh, well, 100,000. That would certainly pay for 10 patients with breast cancer to be treated with Herceptin. And we have unequivocal evidence that reduces the risk of dying in the first 2 years by 50%. And my God, women's lives are worth more than £2,000 a year. And for God's sake, 10 women's lives are worth more than £100,000 a year. Let's get real about
this.
Go
on. Very quick response to that, Dr.
Well,
Fisher.
The main referrers to our breast cancer service are Professor Baum's colleagues. They are the oncologists, the cancer specialists at University College London. They're the biggest group of referrers.
There we are. We'll have to end it there. We're getting a huge number of emails on this. We'll give you a flavour, I hope, at the end of the programme. Thank you both very much, Professor Michael Baum and Dr. Peter Fisher.